Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I'm not worried about the Green Bay game ruining C.J. Stroud or anything, even though he looked a little more jittery in the second half of that football game. I am worried if it turns into a long-term thing where if C.J. continues to get beat up this season, that it has some sort of detrimental effect on him long-term. Like, I don't think that's an unreasonable concern. You know who else holds that concern, Seth? A handful of texters, and B, Mina Kimes of ESPN.
Here is my fear with CJ Stroud. He is beginning to be the new Justin Herbert for me, where every week on tape, I'm like, this dude is putting out some of the best throws I've seen of any quarterback, and yet everything around him is crumbling. He's constantly in third and long. They're constantly running the ball with no success on early downs. I am starting to really worry because we're about halfway into the season. This should be a Super Bowl team, but Alex, it feels like the infrastructure around him is not good enough right now.
Okay, which is weird because the only thing they did with the infrastructure this offseason was retain and upgrade.
Except for the one spot they didn't was at center and left guard. Well, they retained. But they retained what? You don't know what Juice Scruggs is as a center. You don't know what Kenyon Green is as a guard. And, Kenyon Green, to his credit, has stayed healthy. That was the big obstacle early on. But it's not really playing out with good offensive line play. No. And then with your offensive tackles, They're not impressive run blockers. They're just fine in pass protection. But some of the miscommunications between the offensive tackles and the running backs or the tight ends, like it's a whole offense issue. It's not just the offensive line when it comes to the pass protection. Dalton Schultz just looks lost and confused half the time. Cade Stover has not really come along as a blocker. He's had nice moments and what have you. But there's just too much clunkiness mentally, physically, everywhere else across the board that I don't think CJ's operating any differently than he did last year. It's just that this offense is not taking a step forward.
Yeah.
They're a middle-of-the-road NFL offense. You don't have to get advanced stats on this.
No.
They're not scoring enough points.
Which is what matters. Last I checked, that's what the offense's job is. Yes, I agree with that. We got a texter requesting injury updates on the Texans. We'll get you some in a couple of minutes here. We'll update you on the injury board for the Texans here and who was practicing yesterday because that is newsworthy. Now, we played that Mina Kimes earlier in the 7 o'clock hour. That was actually on a podcast that she was doing with Alex Smith, the former San Francisco and Kansas City and Washington quarterback, former number one overall pick, who himself has throughout his career had to navigate a lot of muddy pockets on some bad football teams. Texans aren't a bad football team, fortunately. They just have a lot of muddy pockets. Alex Smith not as worried as Mina Kimes seems to be.
I'm so torn on this because I am an enormous CJ Stroud fan. I have two sons that both want to play football, and my oldest wants to play quarterback. And I've thought about this. Like, if I were to pick one quarterback that you could, like, watch and be like, this is what it looks like. This is what playing quarterback looks like. I think I would pick CJ Stroud. When you talk about, like, classically, beautifully playing quarterback, like, it is so fundamental. He makes it look so easy. He is so dialed in. He is so sound. It's so crazy to say about a second-year player. Like, it's absurd. I even think in some ways he's more fundamental than Joe Burrow. He's had, two rough games, maybe two of his roughest games of his career this season. Both of them, I think, are two of the best teams in football. Although they played against. He went on the road to Minnesota and he went on the road to Green Bay. Watching that film, though, there wasn't anything he missed out there. There wasn't a lot of opportunities. This O-line struggled. They got pick-stunted 5 different times up front. I think they're going to be fine.
Okay.
Pick-stunted. Yep. That's where the awareness of the offensive line comes in, where an offensive lineman is getting a linebacker comes in, hits Kenyon Green upside the head from the side. He gets thrown off into outer space, and then the running back is trying to pick up a looping defensive lineman or what have you. It's a general lack of awareness. This is something that a lot of people, you can pick up with your naked eye. There's just way too many instances of Texans offensive linemen standing, staring off into nothingness while somebody that would presumably be in his peripheral vision is running unimpeded to the quarterback. That's frustrating.
Yeah.
You don't need a PhD in offensive line play to understand that, okay, these guys just they're not getting it. They're not seeing it the way that we need them to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the frustrating thing. And again, some of that just comes back to just like the fundamental basics of how you're operating as an offensive line. They just don't do it the right way right now.
I don't know how old Alex Smith's kids are. He just said he has two sons that want to play football. One wants to play quarterback. Yeah. So I don't know if the one who wants to play quarterback is 6 years old or 14 years old. I just know that I'm going to say this blindly without having ever met nor seen this kid. He's got to be one of the most fearless kids out there because he just watched his dad almost lose his leg playing quarterback in the NFL. I want to go do that thing, Dad, where you had to have 18 surgeries because you were playing that position.
I'd almost rather, if I had a son playing football and I were Alex Smith, I would rather them like stumble onto an embarrassing sex video from college than to stumble onto a picture of me getting my leg destroyed on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, you think the things you worry about from your past that might show up on the internet.
Yeah.
I think my leg getting blown. It wasn't even the injury itself. It's the surgeries afterwards.
Yeah.
The leg that didn't look anything like a human leg, all of that stuff. Yeah.
I think I'd rather... Your example's rather extreme. I think I'd rather maybe stumbling across a YouTube of me public speaking in high school or college where I completely wet myself, you know what I mean? Where I was just absolutely terrible. My kids don't need to see any of that other stuff. Like that's
No, they definitely don't. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. They're two very unsavory alternatives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
They find out that mom was an adult film actress or something.
Right.
Like
no,
that's something you don't want your kids finding out on the internet.
I understand. I'd rather see them breaking my leg than that. That's for me. That's just me. So Alex Smith, not worried about C.J. Stroud. The injury updates for the Texans. Azeez Al-Shaair still out. The big news, the good news, Kamari Lassiter, Henry Toa both back and limited in practice. Seth Lassiter is the big one, especially considering not just this Colts game where you were beat deep on a bunch of plays, including Kamari Lassiter getting beat on one play that wasn't completed. With the Jets coming up and all the weaponry they have, with the Lions coming up and all the weaponry they have, and on and on and on.
The biggest thing with Kamari Lassiter and some of the whiffs that he's had, like some of the rookie whiffs that he's had, is that it doesn't hurt the Texans when they're facing guys like Trevor Lawrence or Anthony Richardson. Even when it hurt the Texans versus Anthony Richardson, Anthony Richardson also single-handedly lost the game for them by missing a wide open receiver I don't know whose fault it was on that, the coverage bust on that. But he still allows the defense to do other stuff. You don't have to make up for it. You can be more aggressive in certain instances when you've got him out there at cornerback. So I like getting him back a lot. I wouldn't worry. I mean, it's a broken bone, you know, and if he's back out there, the bone is healed, and I'm not worried about it affecting his
player. Oh, being like something that's going to be nagging or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's been like a hairline fracture of his scapula.
Yeah. Ugh. That sounds painful.
I don't even know. It's funny. Yeah, there's something about the, you know, when you're a kid, your scapulas, you know, like teenage boys or like, you know, 12-year-old boy, you know, their scapulas are just so defined. They just stick way out.
My brother used to like to like make his stick way out.
Yeah, because you're just
like
a skinny kid. Yeah, and you're the scapula is out there. Yeah, there's something that looks vulnerable about the scapula. I don't like hearing about a broken scapula.
Yeah, no, you need a search party to find mine now. This is my scapula.
Right,
at my age.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw your scapula in a... in a hand mirror.
In a hand mirror.
You're looking up, you're checking your back for moles. You're like, oh, there's the old scapula.
Hey, how are you feeling, by the way? You sneezed earlier in the show, and you said something about kind of your rib
there. I'm pretty sure I definitely had a broken rib or have a broken rib, but I'm not peeing blood or anything, so I'm not going to go see a doctor about it. I don't have time for that.
What did I remember you had the one incident where the parking arm hit you in the head.
The barrier arm at the
parking
garage hit
you
in the head.
And then what was your fall again?
What were the back-to-back home games? I can remember the...
It was the Jacksonville and Buffalo games in weeks 4 and 5.
That was the week in which I took 4 shots to the head in 8 calendar days.
Yeah.
And had kind of a rough go of it. Yeah. That was... when was that? My memory's a little sketchy.
Late September, early October. Yeah, it was like 3 weeks ago.
But that was also when I fell and hit my ribs.
Oh, that's right. You fell on the way to Chipotle, right?
No. I got hit by the parking barrier on the way to Chipotle.
Oh, okay.
I hit my ribs when I passed out in the middle of the night.
That's right. You passed out multiple times.
And I passed out 3 times in one night. And at least... And I... And I don't know what I'm pretty sure I hit the counter or something with my ribs.
Oh.
Because But it's fine. I'm a sports radio host, Sean. This is not I'm not out there trying to work on a road.
Well, no, it hasn't affected your work. You've had some really good shows. I just, when you sneezed earlier, said, you kind of muttered my broken rib, and I'm like,
I haven't been able to sleep very well for the last few weeks.
Okay,
but it's getting incrementally better every day.
Yeah, sure.
So I feel like, all right, it's healing as it goes, and then I'll forget about it. And someday when I'm 78, I'll get a chest X-ray done or something. They're like, wow. You've been walking around with three really poorly healed broken ribs this entire time.
31 years you've been walking around with this.
That's right. I'm going to wait for it to heal and then check to see if it healed properly. And then they'll have to maybe go in and re-break the ribs or something.
But, there you go. We've got some good texts in response to Brian Cashman. Maybe we should reset. Hey, Ben, you still have the Cashman audio pulled up. Here's Brian Cashman on the MLB Network being a little biatch.
How about winning the pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot. And I hate the 15-year thing because it completely forgets and discounts that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to be a little bitch about it, say their name. Like, say the Astros. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there was this one team
thing that I was like, I'm going to subtweet them.
Give me some cheese. I'm a rat. Responses on the text page to that. Lance McCullers threw 24 straight curveballs at your ass. You knew exactly what pitch was coming.
Yeah. It was okay. You guys just couldn't hit 24 straight curveballs. All right, let's call it what it is. It was too loud for the garbage cans to work in 2017, so the Astros weren't even trying. Yeah.
Someone says
2019. And then he's doing the dirtiest. He's John-boying it and lumping 2019 into that too. When it was like, no, you got your asses whooped in 2019.
You got swept in 2022. Someone says, what about the other 14 years? Exactly.
Yeah.
Including the years you lost to the Astros. Text message, I don't want the Dodgers to be put. That's a good one. This is a very Sean type of look at. I don't want the Dodgers to be put on par with the Astros during this era. A second ring over the Yankees puts them right there with us. One more for the Yankees doesn't matter and really only puts juice back on the Astros and Yankees rivalry.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like that thinking. All right, so I'm a hardcore Yankees fan, I suppose. I'm going to pinch my nose and vote for the Yankees. All right.
Whatever you're doing, if you're rooting for anybody in this World Series and you live in Houston, you're pinching your nose in some way. This World Series sucks. Yankees scored 3 total runs in the 4 losses to the Astros that year in the 2017 postseason. It's a fair point. Yeah, like score some runs then, you know, like in the 4 losses. Yankees versus Dodgers is Stalin versus Hitler round 2. That's a little extreme. And the Astros are America coming to save the day. That is a biased viewpoint that I
did.
Here
you
for.
Know what, man? I'll tell you what. It's funny. You know, obviously it's always dicey comparing anybody to Hitler. And yet,
even
you know,
the Dodgers,
there was a time in this country when people who had actually fought in World War II, one of their favorite TV shows was Hogan's Heroes. And one of the most beloved characters on that show was a big fat Nazi by the name of Sergeant Schultz.
Yeah.
So yesterday there was a clip from Andy Reid where he said, I know nothing about the signing of the trade for DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
Because it wasn't official yet, so he wasn't going to say something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Andy Reid has a bit of a Sergeant Schultz look to him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, chubby face, you know, mustache and everything. So I photoshopped Andy Reid's face onto Sergeant Schultz's body.
You did?
And I tweeted it out with the caption, I know nothing. But I'm like, you know what? Enough people aren't going to get this reference, and they're going to think it's just me comparing Andy Reid to a Nazi.
Yes.
That I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like dealing with it.
So you never tweeted it out, or you
tweeted
and deleted?
No, I took it down. I'm like, all right, I don't want to deal with this crap.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, because then you
I don't want to deal with a bunch of, like, grandchildren of World War II veterans who thought that Sergeant Schultz was hilarious, taking up for their grandfathers in absentia. Yeah,
right. Because there's a perfect.
They're like, I can't believe you would invoke Hitler in this. Oh, you're a bastard.
Because there's a perfect explanation as to why you're not being insensitive or anything.
Right. No. But it doesn't matter what the explanation is.
Right. It's then you have to actually execute.
Sports radio shock jock who compared Andy Reid to a Nazi.
Well, and then you've got to actually explain it too, which that's work. You know what I
mean?
And
it never, right, and explaining it doesn't look. And then at some point, somebody from corporate is like, maybe you should throw in an apology there. And then I quit. So I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to cut this off at the pass.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the worst World Series ever, somebody says. World Series apathy reigns supreme. Here's the other problem. Last year's World Series sucked so bad. It was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Can you think of a more bland, blah, ugh, World Series than Rangers and Diamondbacks? So you know, Seth, all the TV rating stories, even if the ratings are down from, like, say, baseball's heyday, that there's going to be all sorts of stories about how the Yankees and the Dodgers, and look at all the eyeballs that they're drawing, because at the very least, they can talk about how much better it is than last year's World Series.
If you go back to, I mean, where now any World Series game typically doesn't do as well as your any given Monday night football game.
Not even close, right.
Yeah, like they're not even, like they're never in the top rated, you know, sports events watched per year. The NFL just dominates all
literally
of that.
96 of the top 100 TV shows are NFL games.
Go back to 1980, and there were a couple games in that World Series, the Phillies versus the Royals, that had a 56 share.
That was a good World Series.
And that was where the majority of people watching TV that night were watching the World Series. Yep. Baseball was a different, it was in a different place in America.
It was truly America's
pastime. It's not like that at all anymore.
No, it was America's pastime, no doubt. All right, let's talk about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud was looking right at the media yesterday and said, hey guys, if you're going to say this after Green Bay, then you better say this after the Colts game if things get better. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud coming up next.